Silver, no contest. Silver Max broke in front and stayed there, coasting to a 5.5-length win. Bred by Steve Snowden, Seth Laufer, and Will Laufer, Silver Max has won 3 of his 4 starts this year, his 2 previous wins coming at Gulfstream Park, and he has finished 1-2 in 8 of his 9 career starts. Badger Silver is also the sire of Fly Lexus Fly, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner in South America, of King Kanji, a graded stakes winner at Calder, and a Grade 1 place, of Silver Medallion, winner of 4 stakes to date, 3 graded, including the Grade 3 Fort Lauderdale at Gulfstream this year. Doug's Buddy, a multiple stakes winner up in Canada, and Sparkling Style, a stakes winner at Hollywood Park, plus 4 more that have placed in stakes from his first 2 crops. Now, the Badge of Silvers were running, and he was a runner himself, a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1 million, by Silver Deputy out of a daughter of Silver Hawk from a running family. Silver Badge of Silver stands for $6,000 live foal. Breeding incentives are available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and as usual, we're here at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center. I had 52 works this morning. Kind of a cloudy morning out here today. It sprinkles all around us, but we haven't got any rain yet, but we need some rain.
Yes, we do.
I could go out and do a little rain dance if it would help. But
I had to water my garden yesterday.
My age, it wouldn't be much of a rain dance, but we can go wiggle a little bit.
Oh, how funny. You're a mess.
Okay. Well, what are we going to do today? We've got an interview coming up at the top of the hour with James Nicholson. And he has a new book out called The Kentucky Derby. And it's a very interesting book. I enjoyed it. He's a historian himself, got a doctorate degree in history from UK, a PhD. And he has dug out some little details in there. But, I mean, he really researched this thing. And it kind of follows the history of not only the Derby, but of the nation, and why this race became so popular and why it still is today. And although it's now a global race, when it was started out being, a Kentucky race. But anyway, I will get him to explain that to you.
I wonder if he just got a PhD in history. I wonder if this book was part of his.
It was.
It was.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
but,
good.
But I tell you what, he can write.
Yeah.
He's an excellent writer. So anyway, he's going to come on the show at the top of the hour. And incidentally, he has a book signing today. I believe he said at 1 at Keeneland, 1 o'clock at Keeneland, right in front of the gift shop out there. You can't miss it. And if it rains,
you move under the ledge.
It's under the ledge anyway. Yeah. You know. My offices when I was with the Daily Racing Form way back in the last century was... was right around the corner there, and we rented 3 stalls for him.
I think that your old office is now the back part of that.
Yeah, it is.
Of the gift shop.
But it's in the same area. If you go going into the big clubhouse room, you walk down that long hall, and they had all these old day of stalls there, you know. And that's the rent we used to pay, was stall rent.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, anyway. Probably, here comes, let's see, what else we're going to do?
Parker's mother.
Yeah, Francis. Anyway, Dr. Doug Byers is going, Michael won't be here, I don't think. I'm hopefully Doug's coming, Dr. Byers, but Michael is taking,
Marquetry
out to Keeneland today for show and tell.
Yeah, at the Breakfast with the Works. We sent a bunch of people from Michigan out there, what we ran into, that were down here visiting. I wonder if they made it, because they had been, on a previous trip, they had been to old friends.
Come on in, Francis. Tell them to come on in. It's cold out there. Anyway.
Come on in.
We're going to talk about some of the old bluegrass winners. Well, let's see. Bimlik was the first one that went on to be a champion 3-year-old. We're going to talk a little bit about him. The second one was Coaltown, and he became a champion handicap horse as a 4-year-old. Of course, that was the year that Citation didn't race. So he kind of picked up the slack there, made champion handicap. We'll talk about those two horses. And as I say, here comes Doug now, as a matter of fact. And what else we're going to do? Oh, yeah. Let me plug the winners from out here. So far this month, we've had 15 winners from the Thoroughbred Center. And let's see, 8 since last week's show. Alan Krupper, Paul McAtee, Jimmy Cargan, Trish Regard, Kellen Gorder, Ted Lucas, Troy Rankin, and Troy Rankin again. Let's see, on the 12th. What was it? Yesterday was the third Friday, the 13th. He saddled one at, Troy did, at Mountaineer, and the previous day he had one at Keeneland. So, I believe they're both 2-year-olds. I believe they're both first-time starters. And, I don't know who's the youngest over there, Doc. You are Dutcher. we've got Dutcher Howard in here now. He's all of about, almost a year and a half now, isn't he, Matt? Yeah. And then here comes Doc and Doc Byer, and they're over there doing a dance together. So I don't know who's the youngest. I know who's the good best looking. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, who?
Yeah, who? Well, it ain't you.
Well, thanks.
I guess Michael's out at Keeneland today.
Yeah, but he said he might get out here.
Oh, he won't get out here. But you know Michael.
Yeah, well, anyway, he said he was going to try and rendezvous.
Rendezvous?
Yeah. So, join up out here.
With whom?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Well, if he shows, he shows. What time did he go out there with that horse, anyway?
I have no idea.
Oh, it's real early.
Real early?
Yeah, it's like 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock's not real early. We'd been up 3.5 hours at 8 o'clock. My good Lord have mercy.
That's one eye open.
Well, I was up. I didn't know about you. All right. Well, let me take a little break here, and we'll go get Doc on, because he might want. You going to Keeneland today?
No. Went yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Had a good time.
Oh, good. How was the crowd?
Packed.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Boy, they pack them in out there, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. You know, you put your sardine fin on your back of your coat when you go in the place.
A sardine fin?
Your sardine fins, because you're packed in like sardines.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's more fun out there, actually, during the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go out on a Wednesday or Thursday. I like it. I'm not going today. Of course, by the time I got off here, the cars would be stacked up to the bypass. I wouldn't get there until the race post time for the Bluegrass Stakes anyway. So
yeah.
What the heck? But anyway.
Do on TV.
Do what, Jackie?
On TV.
Sit down. Have a mic. Michael's not here today.
I said it's on TV.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
I asked Seth last year. I was over there. Right, Seth Hancock, you know?
Yeah.
I love Seth. And
I think the world of him, too.
Oh, yeah, he's straight up, isn't he? But anyway, he's funny. And I asked him, I said, you going to the Derby? He says, they still show it on TV, don't they?
Sounds just like him.
Just like him. I don't think Seth is into the big crowds either.
No, I think a lot of us aren't.
No.
Yeah, that's fun when you're younger, I think.
Yeah. I never liked big crowds.
Scenery's
even when
there.
I was young.
The scenery's out there is awful good.
Yeah.
The what?
The scenery.
Oh, the scenery.
For the young
fellows
to look around.
Yeah. Well, Urso goes out and ogles pretty girls anyway.
I forgot why, but I do.
They need to expand it, though. Saturdays are ridiculous.
Yeah, Saturdays are crazy.
How do you want to expand it?
I don't know.
Rest it says we need to expand it. Run it at night?
No, they need to make the track bit, make the fan area
bigger. Oh, make the fan area bigger?
Well, Keeneland tends to be happy just like they are.
Absolutely.
They don't really fix stuff.
I know.
They're not really into change, are they?
No, they really aren't.
I remember when they first put the TVs out there.
Right.
You know, a friend of ours said, well, they're probably going to turn the sound down. They hadn't had a track announcer before that, you know. Hey, Don.
Are you, Don? I was all the way to 10. I heard you talking about the book. Hi, Jackie.
Yeah, Don Combs came in.
Sit down.
I've got it right here.
Well, he came over here to look at the book. Yeah.
What book?
I'll lend you that book. That's,
Well, I was going to tell you that if he had it with him, they'd get me what I gave him money to.
Well, come over here if you're going to talk. Hell, people can't hear you.
You can't. I didn't know you're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air.
Oh, goodness.
You can't tell whether we're on the air when we aren't.
Look at this book.
I assume we were on the air. Somebody turn the radio on, see if this is coming over.
Well, I thought y'all were just in here talking to one another. I didn't know you were on the air.
That's the way we are, you know. I mean, nobody knows what the hell we're doing, including us.
I heard you talking about this book, and this gentleman was coming out here, and that's always interests me. I've got all the books on derbies and horses and everything.
He has dug up. He's really done his research, and he's a real good writer.
I'll get one.
Having a book signing today.
I know, but I'm not going to go to Keeneland to get it. But maybe
are you like Seth?
Maybe you can get it for me. Maybe you can get it for me from him today. Maybe he's got one with him.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get a good deal or something.
Wait a minute. See if there's a price on that.
Oh, goodness.
Let me see that. No. I don't see a price. I'll ask him when he gets here.
He may not have, but I just said, I didn't know if he'd be here early or late, so I said, I'm going to turn around and drive back out there and take a look at that book, and I heard you say it was interesting. You'd read it, and it's pretty, very good.
They came up with some facts that I didn't know. For instance, I didn't know James Ben L. Hagen was from Harrodsburg.
Is that, was huh. it? Was
yeah.
It? I should have known that. That's where my grandparents are from.
Well, you've been away about as long as he has.
When I think of the Derby or anything like that, first thing pops in my mind is Alex Hartfield.
Alex?
Yeah. Just, the Derby Dog.
He played a big role in it for many years.
Oh, geez.
He played a big role in the last race after the Derby, too, a lot, didn't he? Dr. Arco touched that line.
No.
I think he liked the race after the Derby better than he liked the Derby.
That's kind of a gambling race, you know.
A fella called me a couple of weeks ago, and they're going to do a film special on Alex.
Really?
Yeah, and I said, well, now, you know, that's a little touchy. And he said, no, it's going to be a positive spin all the way through. And so I said, fine, good.
You know who they should do one on, too?
Huh?
Bob Copeland.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. That'd be good.
That would swing both ends of the pendulum.
Yes, it would.
But Alex was a great, great friend, and I really miss him.
Yeah.
And admired him a lot.
He
was just born to be ahead of the curve.
He was very smart and very good. When I first started training, I was very young, and he did some things. He never would ever send me a bill. He did things for me, and he looked at horses. And
now, you're talking to a veterinarian over here.
I know, but
he didn't want to hear that.
He just never would. He was so nice. He would, you know, come tell me things and do things, and he'd never send me a bill. And, of course, I just had a horse or two back then that just started and didn't have much money, but he was just always, he was good to me all the way to the end. Matter of fact, he had a horse he'd go send to me to train. He wanted me to take the Mountaineer and run for him. That was the last year or two of his life. And I think Jinx had it down there at Churchill, and he wanted me to take it up there, and he called me, and then he got it all set up, and the darn horse broke his knee or came up with a fracture or something. We couldn't take him.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was late on. Nice little horse. I'm sure the horse could probably run, too.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, Alex didn't have a greedy bone in his body, and he was a very, very generous person.
Right.
He really was.
I just met him a couple of times, so I really didn't know him. Matter of fact, I met him at Old Friends.
Uh-huh.
And once he was over there.
Right.
Before they moved over, Dutch is on the show today.
It's the we're going home noise.
Bye, Dutcher. He's a cute kid. Yeah. Hey, I got to take a little break here and I'll talk to you all some more. Well, Hakamai, a 3-year-old colt by First Samurai, turned in a great effort in last Saturday's Grade 3 $500,000 Illinois Derby to finish a fast closing third. Now, here's what the official chart had to say of the race. This is a quote. Hakamai, bumped at the start and forced him to ring it up, was settled in last to the back stretch, shifted out racing through the far turn, steadily gathering momentum, was fanned 7 wide into the upper stretch, exchanged repeated contact with Saturday Lunch, racing through the lane, but continued willingly to close the gap while edging that foe for a share. That's an exact quote of the chart. So he had some kind of trouble. Now, Hakamai came from dead last in the field of 14. He just got beat 2 lengths for all the money. We're going to hear more about this coach. You can bet on it. First Samurai is also a sired Grade 2 stakes winner in Grade 1 place Justin Phillip, graded stakes winner Northern Passion, graded stakes winner Let Me Go, stakes winner Trub, stakes winner Swift Warrior, and 4 others that have placed in stakes in his brief stud career. Grade 1 stakes winners by Giants Causeway, First Samurai stands $15,000 to win a foal stand and nurses, at Claiborne Farm. And, of course, Claiborne is also the home of Warfront. And yesterday at Keeneland, the grade one Maker's Mark Mao went to Dataline, a four-year-old colt, and he is by Warfront. He's bred by Stuart S. Janney III. And in more, if you want to know more about the Claiborne stallions, just get in touch with Bernie Sams over at Claiborne Farm. The website is claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, last Saturday in Chicago, the Grade 3 $500,000 Illinois Derby was won by Dunn Talking, 3-0 colt. He's by Broken Vow. And the day before at Oaklawn, the Prima Donna Stakes went to Good Deed, a 3-year-old filly by Broken Vow. Bred by Skedaddle Associates, Dunn Talking punched his ticket to the Kentucky Derby, besting a field of 14, broke from post position 13. Last year, as a 2-year-old, he won at Delaware and at Parks, was a fast closing fourth, beating just a length for all the money in the Grade 2 Remsen. Good Deed, bred by Bertram Elaine and Richard Klein, sprinted 6 furlongs in 109-3 to take the Prima Donna by nearly 5 lengths. She won stakes at the fairgrounds last year, and she was one of 23 stakes horses by Broken Vow of 2011. Now, Broken Vow is also the sire of 2012 stakes winner Geminator and stakes winner Wicked Vow this year. That's 4 stakes winners already this year, and he has sired 4 grade 1 stakes winners. A success by any measure. Broken Vow, 25,000 live folded Pin Oak Stud. Home also of Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, Sky Classic. Inquiries at Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather is clear.
I've got Dr. Doug Byer here with me today, and you were talking about Dr. Hardhill.
Mm-hmm.
He was real dangerous.
Yes. Yep. Yep. They had, there were a whole group of women, and Doug Davis and can't remember the name of the Bluegrass Heights farm was
Dr. Horace Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they were all kind of buddies, and then he was tight with Pat Day, but you know, he, like I say, he was a very generous person, and he, if
controversial,
I was just getting ready to say, if you needed a friend, he was a great friend, but if you needed an enemy, he could be a hell of an enemy too. So
I know Don Cones liked him because he was getting free no vet bills from him.
I'll tell you who else he was really close with, really good friends with Bill Shoemaker.
Was he?
Really, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really, really everything with about Shoe. When he came to town, boy, he was, he was really.
Well, he picked Warner Jones. They were
all good friends,
real tight.
Warner owned Hermitage Farm down in Goshen, Kentucky, and was president of Keeneland, too, wasn't he?
Was no, it? Churchill.
Churchill.
He was a big man at Churchill.
I was just 70 miles off.
Well, Warner, you know, we could talk about these people forever, but, you know, I just made a comment that, you know, Keeneland is not too keen on changing much because they got it too good as it is.
Yeah, why would
and
it?
And Warner would change stuff constantly. You know?
Yeah.
He came back from when they rebuilt Arlington, and he said, we've got to have a TV thing out there. And he said, they don't have a post in those grandstands. He said, everybody gets a good view. And he said, it just overwhelmed him. He just felt like, you know, it was catch-up time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of a colorful person himself.
Oh, no question.
Bred Darkstar, that's the horse that beat Native Dancer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that made him controversial right there. By Royal Jim II, wasn't he? Wasn't that horse, that who he was by? I believe
don't
he was.
I remember.
Darkstar? Have to look it up.
I know it was 1953.
I believe you're right. You, Brian. What was your first derby? Not counting the one you won.
Well, the first one I ever saw or first went to or...
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you where I was up on Russell K. Road, weeding tobacco bed that day, and we listened to it on the truck, on the radio, on the truck when Dark Star won.
Is that right?
I remember that very clearly. Yeah. I was going to Russell K. to school then. I was just real young. I was helping the Hughes people. I was with the Hugheses. I had all the family were friends of mine, and well, they were up. They had that farm down there, so leased that tobacco, and I was helping to weed the tobacco bed that day. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. What was your first derby, Doc?
Oh, geez.
Of course, he's out west, you know. He's
well, I mean, if it was by the media, you know, I listened to the Derby almost every year since I was a kid, but we were in California. And, of course, I can remember the following that Secretariat generated. And when he won the Derby and then the Preakness, and we were on our way up to a trail ride, an endurance ride, to be on the veterinary crew. And I said, well, this Belmont's on today. So this is in the hills of California. And there was a restaurant bar thing. I said, well, let's pull in and see if they got a TV. That place was packed.
Is that right?
Oh, it was sardine time. And we were in there and watched that Belmont. Yeah. I mean, the following was incredible.
That's so, great out there in California.
Yeah, yeah.
My first one I really remember, listened to and knew about, the first one I remember was Citation. Uh-huh. I was at the barn at Bluegrass Jersey Farm, and I listened to that on radio.
Yeah. What's the first one you saw live?
You know, gee whiz.
Probably the one he won.
No. I didn't see that one. I had a bad seat. I had a good seat.
Well, he won by about 8, didn't he?
Won by 5.
5, yeah.
When I was at UK, I took a lot of my fraternity brothers and I. We went down to Shadowgate in 1963.
Yeah.
And we were in the infield. And that was, of course, they didn't have a turf course then. You could go right up to the rail, and it wasn't that crowded. You know, it wasn't that bad. It was just real. Had a good time, but that might have been the first one I ever saw live. Really, that 1963.
Yeah. What was the first one you saw live, Doc?
Unbridled.
Unbridled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That hadn't been that.
Was that 90? 1990?
Something like that.
Yeah. Right in that era. Yeah. Yeah. So. Everybody remembers that first one. You know.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to tell you when mine was. The Aristides.
You regret saying what it is?
Yeah, right.
Tell him.
Huh?
Tell him.
Jet pilot.
Well, that was 46?
47.
47. Yeah. I didn't miss it
the
year.
The first one I listened to on the radio, I remember, was like 45. That was Hook Jr. And then the next year, it was Assault, of course. And then the next year, I went with my parents to the Derby. To see Jet. Well, I went down to see Star Award run. He ran 6. Yeah, I can remember that just as clear. You know, it was,
I thought maybe you might have seen Whirl Away.
Well, that was 41. No, yeah. I know I was.
I used to hear all about him as a little kid. They used to talk about his beautiful tail all the time. And they had those postcards around every place, the Whirl Away, you know, had those postcards.
Yeah, Mr. Long Tail.
Yeah, Mr. Long Tail. Yeah, that long, pretty tail.
Yeah, the Jet Pilot won by, it was in the mud that day, and Eric Guerin won. You remember Eric?
Eric Guerin. He's the same one that he rode Northern Native Dancer that got beat by Dark Star.
Yeah, that's well, he rode him all the time.
That was his regular rider.
That was his regular rider, was Eric Guerin. Yeah. Well, he led all the way that day. I mean, he went wire to wire with Jet Pilot.
Yeah.
He beat Phalanx by a head, Faultless ran third, another head back. On Trust was behind him. He was a California horse. He was fourth. Fifth was Cosmic Bomb, and then the horse that I like ran 6. So, yeah. The previous year, 46, it was Assault, and Dixiana had Spy Song in that day. He ran second. Should have been third.
Was it Hooper? Which one did he? Hoop Jr. It was.
That, Hoop Jr. was in 45.
45, okay.
Yeah. That was the first one that Keeneland sold.
Yeah.
You know, he was a Keeneland graduate, sales. And matter of fact, in the old pavilion.
Which I loved.
You remember, they had the wicker chairs.
That was the neatest place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all right together, and they'd come walking right through each side of you.
It wouldn't fit now,
would
it?
No, it wouldn't work now.
Yeah,
but
they
had, it was nice.
They had a big picture of Hoop Jr. in there.
Oh.
Right just to the left of where George Swinebroad used to stand.
Loved him.
You know, the auctioneer. Yeah.
Neat guy.
George was something else. He wasn't down around Harrodsburg, wasn't he?
I don't really know.
I believe he was.
I remember when they sold all of his art and stuff out. They did that at the Red Mile out there. Is that right? Yeah, it was probably in the early 70s. They had that, a lot of his artwork and stuff after he passed away.
Yeah.
So I remember going to it. It was really neat. He had a lot of stuff.
It wasn't a color picture. It was the kind of brown. What do they call that? Sepia tone or something?
Sepia.
There you go. We got the...
Well, she's the artist over there.
She knows.
Shut up back there. Oh, Lordy. Okay, I got to take another break. We'll get you on here in a minute, Doc.
All right. I've been on.
You've been on. All right. Well, first, defense has a classic pedigree, but speed was his forte. He's one of 13 grade one winners by Unbridled Song, the sire of three distaff classic winners, and a son of the classic winner and classic sire Unbridled. His dam, Honest Lady, won grade one stakes, earned more than $894,000, and she's by the classic winner and classic sire, Seattle Slough. Second dam, a broodmare of the year, won grade one stakes, produced five greatest stakes winners, four of them grade one stakes winners, including Empire Maker, winner of the classic grade one Belmont Stakes, and the very successful sire, Chester House, a grade one stakes winner around two turns, and also a successful sire. First defense also won stakes around two turns, but he excelled sprinting, won the grade one four gold, seven furlongs and won 21 and two, sprinted seven furlongs and won 20 and four at Belmont, and won 21 and two at Churchill, and six furlongs and nine and two to take the grade three diaper. And he won greatest stakes on dirt and grass. First foals for first defense, 2-year-olds, they're in good hands. He stands for 7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also the grade one sire, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Tom Biederman wanted me to plug this today, and I was going to do it. Anyway, they've got a great farm for sale, and it's down around Carlisle. It's called Eagle Valley Farm, and it's going to be an auction on Saturday, April the 28th at 10:30 in the morning. 575 acres, and it's going to be offered in two tracks. It's on the corner of U.S. 68 and Walnut Grove Road, and believe me, this is a drop-dead gorgeous place. Its property features wonderful equine facilities, tree-lined drives, charming main residence and a guest house, a beautiful pool, a tennis court, a gazebo, other farms. There's a manager's residence, six barns with 104 stalls, 34 paddocks, and 16 fields. Two six-horse exercisers. There's a large office and equipment building. You name it. I mean, you just walk in there and you're in business. And not only that, the entire household of antiques and furnishings and farm equipment is going to be sold immediately following the real estate. And you can get a list of that, incidentally. Just go to Tom's website. That's Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. That's Tom, Biederman. Brokerage.com, that's his website. His number is 277-2030. Now, the inspections are Monday, April the 16th, and Monday, April the 23rd. That's the next two Mondays from 4 until 7, from 4 until 7 p.m. By appointment, if you want to call. Once again, his number is 277-2030. And this auction is going to be, once again, on April the 28th at 10:30 a.m. in the morning, so we'll remind you again next week on that one. Well, the victory of undefeated gemologists in the Grade 2 Wood once again put the spotlight on Tisway and the fact that he's become one of North America's elite sires. That said, let us point out that Tis Deja Vu won more graded stakes than any other son of Tisway at stud. Tis Deja Vu won three graded stakes at Churchill Downs and a fourth at Arlington Park, where he also placed in grade one stakes at the classic distance of a mile and a quarter. And it was not so much that he won those stakes, but how he won them. Leading from wire to wire in all four in a catch-me-if-you-can style of running. Boy, he had brilliant speed and a wonderful way of moving. He was fun to watch. Now, Tis Deja Vu stands for $5,000, doing a full stance of nurses. Covered a book of first book of quality mares last year, and to continue this trend, Tis Deja Vu's incentive program will be continued this year. Special consideration, in some cases complimentary seasons, are going to be awarded. Stakes winning or stakes producing mares and additional incentives may be available for non-qualifying mares. Contact Pope McLean, Phil Hager, or Robert Keck at Crestwood Farm. Number over there is 252-3770. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, have tears in both eyes.
Got me on here. Thanks, Don, for stopping by. Appreciate it. Don and I go back a way, you know. And you get too old, fogies.
That's surprising.
Shut up. Michael Blowen's here. You get two old fogies on like us, you know, and we can rattle on, and all we have to do is drop a name, and the other one knows all about it or thinks he knows all about it. Hey, how'd it go, Michael Blowen? How'd it go out of Keeneland today?
Oh, marquetry was unbelievable. It was up on his toes. These horses are going by. He's ready to take them all on. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. McCarron came over, and he said, well, he said, you know, he rode farm away in the Hollywood Gold Cup when marquetry beat him, finished second.
Yeah.
And he says, I got sick of chasing that horse's red blankety-blank around Hollywood Park. Anyway, that was nice. Yeah. And it was a nice crowd. Everybody was really great, and the horse was just fabulous. Mercer did a great job with him. Raimondo was there. Martin was there. He had his old entourage.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah,
so it was a great
horse
crowd.
Probably enjoyed it.
I ran into a guy that I want to try and get to come over and talk to you sometime. His name's George Harrison. He's not that George Harrison. He's the other George Harrison.
Who's the George Harrison that I should know about?
What's the matter with you? What?
Not a horse.
Really? It's not a horse. Is it, right?
It's not a horse?
Hey, you know, you're talking. Well, anyway, so his name's George Harrison. He's an exercise writer.
Okay.
He wrote a really good book.
I'd rather talk to the exercise writer than the other George Harrison.
I know you would. That's why I mentioned it.
All right.
You're talking about your first Derby. I've never been. I never saw a Derby live.
You haven't?
No.
You going this year?
No.
It's too crowded.
He could have. A couple of years ago, I set him up to be able to go, and he got too busy.
I sold the tickets for old friends.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Those tickets are too expensive for me. Are you kidding me? That's my annual salary. Besides, I hear it's very crowded and you can't get a beer and it's tough to make a bet. So it's good. I go over to Keeneland, make my bets, have a great old time. It's fine.
Well,
I'd like to go one of these years. One year, Jerry Moss came to the farm. 2005, we had Ruhlman, and Jerry said, you know, we have a horse in the Derby. And, of course, the horse had no chance of winning. I think he was 30-1 in the morning line. Anyway, but he invited me to go. So I said, oh, that'll be great. I'll get to sit with the owner. I won't have to worry about parking. This is, like, really great. And who cares if the horse wins? It's going to be a great time. This is the only way you should go to the Derby. Well, that Friday, late in the afternoon, Sunshine Forever got sick. And, of course, everybody's at the Oaks. Nobody's in town.
Yeah.
And this is before I got to impose on Dr. Byers. If I'd have known him then, we would have been all set. But anyway, he got a little colicky, and you know, so I'm walking him around. Then finally they sent an intern over from Haggard's and put the old mineral oil down, did all that stuff. And well, he didn't really get better until Derby afternoon around 2:30. So I go to a bar in Midway, and I'm sitting down to watch the race and have a beer, and sitting next to a total stranger. And wouldn't you know it, the Moss's horses, Giacomo, wins and has the second highest price in Derby history. Okay. And I'm sitting next to this guy next to me, and I said, you know, I'm supposed to be in that picture.
He didn't believe you.
No, of course not.
Right.
You know, it's just unbelievable. But Marquetry, he was great today. Just up on his toes, looking around, you know, rearing to go.
Yeah, it was a big, flashy horse anyway.
Yeah,
good-looking
beautiful
horse. Yeah. Yeah, all that white on him.
Yeah.
I think he's part of Hereford.
But he didn't run like a cow, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, no,
that's McCarron.
You're right. Well, he probably never saw a lot of the white.
No.
From his viewpoint.
Wire to wire marquetry. Yeah. Bobby Frankel had him, of course. He earned almost $3 million.
Yeah.
He's a very good sire. Sired two Eclipse Award winners.
Yeah. Bobby never had a chance to come down here, did he?
No.
Yeah, well, he took pretty
good. But, you know, he always listens to the show when he was alive. He listened to the show. Oh, you mean down to Kentucky?
Yeah.
I thought you meant down here to the clocker stand.
Oh, no, down to Kentucky. He didn't listen to the show either.
He might have. You know, it's on the... Who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, we're very grateful to Bobby and
So things are going well. We got a horse in today.
Oh.
At the horse show over at the horse park.
Oh, yeah, that's today.
The Optitrack Thoroughbred Show.
Yeah, who'd you take over there?
Bonfanti.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Malloy. Lisa Malloy took four over from New Vocations.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think it's a great idea showing these horses can go off to second careers, that people don't have to go to Europe and spend $200,000 on a show horse if they can get a really intelligent, athletic thoroughbred to do some really amazing things.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be really, really eye-opening for a lot of the show people today to see what these great thoroughbreds can do.
Hey, Jackie. I believe that's our guest out there. See if that's James. Yeah.
He's been standing in that spot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our guest.
He gets that excited when we come by, doesn't he, Dr.
No.
No, I don't think so. But we got tours going today. People are going to come over today. Mark, she's back on the paddock now, just enjoying himself.
And yeah.
Working on a big horse. Maybe I may be able to announce it next week. I'm very excited.
Well, you can tell me now, can't you?
No. I can't jinx myself. Because I said we were going to get Lava Man, because that's what they told me. And Lava Man's still out on the racetrack. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he's a lead pony now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So it's humiliating.
It's been
like going from boxing to wrestling.
Well,
huh? It's humiliating. He's a multiple grade stakes winner. He's leading all these old $5,000 claimers out to the track, you know, and he knows he can beat every one of them, and it's got to be driving him nuts.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. That's good,
all
though.
Right, fine.
I think it's great. He's not the first big name horse, you know, to be made a lead pony. You know, there was a Kentucky Derby winner that was a lead pony. Clyde Van Dusen was a lead pony.
Yeah, funny side, I think.
When his trainer, when his owner,
yeah.
Well, Clyde Van Dusen was a trainer also, he took him to California with him, and he made a lead pony out there with
him.
Yeah,
funny side did it, too.
Yeah, well, that's right. Still doing it, I believe.
No, he's at the horse park.
He's at the horse park now, isn't he?
Yeah. I know that's happened within the last 10
John
years. Your memory for that stuff's not that good.
All right.
But, funny side's over at the horse park, having a ball, you know, greeting his visitors and having a great time.
I got to take a break. We've got to get Doc on. You look like you're stall walking.
I am stall walking.
He's got business.
I've got to go look at a mare that's having troubles.
Oh, well, so, Michael, shut up. We're going to get him on here and just... All right. Well, the first... The first foals by Classic Winner Jazzle, a showing run. Compressors posted four wins, been in the money in 10 of his 12 starts. Allowance winner Farhan has two wins and is knocking on the door in stakes. Allowance winner Jazzle, who trains right here, has a pair of wins and has also run well in stakes. So has Najar, a top allowance winner to Oaklawn, ran well in the Grade 2 Rebel, and he goes today in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, by the way. And good luck to him. Perdido broke her maiden at Churchill, and Lon Jamil won a maiden race in her second start. So the Jazzles are competitive and good company, and they're more on the way. Jazzle won the Classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes and was a closing fourth in the Kentucky Derby, and he is without question one of the best-bred young sires in the world. By seeking the goal, he's out of the Broodmare of the Year better than Honor, a major graded stakes winner herself, and the dam of four graded stakes winners, including champion Rags to Riches, like Jazzle, winner of the Belmont Stakes. The second dam won the Kentucky Oaks. The third dam is yet another Broodmare of the Year. Doesn't get any better than that. Jazzle stands for $7,500 at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Got to say something nice about the guy that gives all these free halters over here to the old friends.
Oh, Sally Vans and Quill Intact. Sally Vans brought Marquetry over today.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he got the limo treatment.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
What's the limo?
The Sally Van.
Well,
you're a sponsor. You're supposed to come up with stuff like
that.
Well,
this. I thought, hell, I didn't know about a limo. What's a horse van, you know, a horse trailer.
Yeah, but there's regular horse trailers and there's Sally Vans. They're the limos of the horse van business.
Well, getting right back to my favorite tack shop.
Quill and Tack.
we just got
120 halters.
Did you from Ralph?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I bet you he's...
That's why he was drinking a lot last night.
He must have.
So what did I do? Why did I say that to him? Thank you.
You should say thank you. Well, he makes the best halters in the world. Nobody. They sell about 20,000 of them a year because of the quality.
Is that the total that he sells or the total that he gives away?
Well, he's not counting freeloaders like you.
Okay, I'm
you
just
know.
Checking.
Yeah, all right. If you don't know where Quill and Tack is, well, you should. It's in Paris, Kentucky. If you're coming in from the Lexington area, just go straight into Paris. Go to the third stoplight and look on your left. right across from Ken's Supermarket, which you can get some good fried chicken over there, by the way. Yeah, I go over there every now and then. All the firemen go over and get their fried chicken at Ken's for lunch. But Ralph is a great guy. Talking about opening up a bar down there, that might be the end of him. Of a whole lot of his friends, too, as far as that goes.
He's drinking the stock.
Yeah, right.
He's better going to get free beer, too.
Well, I told him I'd give him some free commercials on for his bar for a couple of free beers, you know. So give me a Sam Adams a week, and I'll be right there, you know.
It's a great barter system.
Yeah, well, he's got a great tax, a great gift shop there. Just stop in and see him. The gift shop's so good, they bring tours by there now. It's fun to watch them.
It's really great, and you can go down and watch them make the halters, too. They're handmade. They do an amazing job.
All righty. Now I got to take care of my friends at Windstar, and we'll be right with you, Doc. Look, Doc's just on the edge of his seat over there. April 7 in New York, the grade one. Why didn't you tell me you had to get out of here early?
Well, if now it's late. I didn't have to get out early, but if now it's late.
Well, people are used to waiting on veterinarians, you know, so they'll wait. Yeah,
I always tell clients that if I'm on time, don't report me to the state. They'll take my license away.
All right. This, I believe. April 7 in New York, the grade one $1 million wood was won by gemologist, the three-year-old colt, by the big horse sire, Tis Now. Gemologist is undefeated in five starts, won the grade two Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes as a two-year-old last year for earnings of more than $784,000. He stamped himself as a leading contender for the Kentucky Derby. Bred by G. Watts Humphrey Jr. and Louise Ireland Humphrey Revocable Trust, gemologist sold as a yearling for $310,000. Tis Now sires the big horse in the sales ring, too. Gemologist is the ninth grade one stakes winner by Tis Now. In fact, he has sired 23 graded stakes winners. When we say that Tis Now sires the big horse, we mean just that. One of his nine grade one winners is Colonel John, winner of the historic grade one Travers and the grade one Santa Anita Derby. Colonel John earned over $1,779,000. He's one of five millionaires by his great sire. Both Tis Now and Colonel John stand at Windstar. Tis Now stands for a fee of $75,000 live foal. Colonel John for $15,000 due when the foal stands in nurses with a 5% discount if paid by November 1. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett and see the website at WindstarFarm.com.
Run it by them one more time.
Oh, you got something new over there? What's this?
We old have a friends of Winter Circle. Daily Racing
Club. Oh, okay. Doc, I'm going to get to you. Just go. Seriously, yeah.
Well, you can't block Michael from having a promotional word or two.
I'm looking at his brochure, new brochure here. This is one. With Daily Racing Form, he said.
What's happened is the Daily Racing Form, I'll be brief, Dr. Barnes. The Daily Racing Forum is going to give us some free ads and some free news articles about horses that are entered into the Old Friends Winner Circle. And what happens is we ask owners or trainers of horses that nominate their horses to donate 5% of the winner's purse if they win the race to Old Friends. They get a tax deduction, we get the money, and then the Racing Forum will publish their picture and the results in a subsequent edition.
Oh, that's a great
idea.
So,
you know, everybody gets a lot of good publicity, and of course they move up on the priority list if the horse ever needs to retire to Old Friends.
Yeah, very good.
And we got one running tomorrow at Keeneland. Fort Defiance in the second race, trained by Lee Rossi.
Oh, good.
Ridden by Robbie Alvarado, horse won a $30,000 claimer, non-winners of two lifetime last time at Keeneland, and is running back with Robbie Alvarado, and he's 8-1 on the morning line, so...
Uh-oh.
I'm going to put a little extra money, not Old Friends money, just my money.
Don't jinx him now.
Yeah, really. I know, picking losers.
All right, Doc, what we got?
Well, why don't we do this? I was going to just kind of go with some of the myths that we have out in our industry, and why don't I title them, and then we'll do them next week.
Okay.
Okay. So one of the myths that I hear, because I get a lot of phone calls, and one of the myths that's out there is, what are we going to do about this mild winter? The parasites are going to raise havoc. So we need a good hard freeze to kill the parasites. Well, that's a myth.
Doesn't work, huh?
That's a myth.
I've said that myself.
He's correcting me.
So
it's much harder to get rid of parasites.
Yeah.
Especially in racing.
Yeah. So, Michael, I thought you were going to shut up. my foal is peeing through his navel. How do I stop it? So we'll go that route a little bit, too.
Okay.
And then...
is this next week you're sitting
next up? Week, yeah. We'll just kind of go, if you'll remind me, but I'll write them down here, you know.
All right.
Just to discuss some of the things.
Get Susan to do it. She'll take care of it.
Yeah, she'll take care of it, all right.
Susan, he rolled his eyes.
So, those are just a couple of examples. We'll just get some of the things to discuss that we have as kind of tradition that are wrong, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion. So I get to be as staunch as Michael.
That's a great idea. You know, this is a great idea. Now he's teasing it for next week, so everybody's going to tune in next week. It's like a cereal.
I can't wait. I'm just going to sit here for a week.
The mist on the edge of the cliff.
I get Jackie to cater me over here.
Well, I'm going to go run a look at a mare that and... another one of the myths just that I was going to discuss is, you know, I got a phone call this morning. What do I do about a mare that bled last year? And she's due to foal now. They gave her a year off, and she's due to foal now. So she bled 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So what do I do? And the myth may be that if they bleed once, they'll bleed every time. And that's not true.
That's not true either.
No, but we can discuss
it. It depends on what happens during the birth, doesn't it?
Huh?
Just what happens during the birth.
Well, kind of, and then...
don't you go away. I want to ask you one more thing.
So, anyway.
No, go ahead. No,
next week.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you were going to ask him something, so I might as well go.
I'm going to keep him here to the top of the hour, is what I'm going to do. Oh, Doc, I didn't mean to run you off.
Dr. Myers has important work to do.
He does.
It's like you never saw Bruce Wayne and Batman at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got that other identity, that veterinarian identity.
Oh, right.
Okay, see you next week.
All right, Doc. Thank you. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Okay, well, we know we're going to talk about it next week.
I'm going to look at your mare for you.
All right. Tell me a little bit more about this now. This
the Old Friends Winner's Circle?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a wonderful woman named Mandy who's the marketing director of the Daily Racing Form, and she really likes Old Friends. And she's been trying to figure out what we can do. Now, they're going to do two things. One is this program where, as I say, owners can nominate their horses to the Winner's Circle. Wouldn't you know it, the first horse we get nominated to the Old Friends Winner's Circle is Mark Valesky, and he loses to that $200 horse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we're Burton Jones, we're sitting on... more than $30,000 if he wins the race. Yeah. I was dying. I never bet a dime in the race, and it was going to be the biggest payoff I ever had.
I saw that race, and he didn't get beat very far.
No, he didn't. He lost a shoe, and
during that racing? Mm-hmm. Have you talked to Burr? Is he going to go on with that horse in the Derby, or what's he going to do?
I don't know. I saw him this morning briefly. He came by, and he walked by, and when we had marketry over there, and he and Libby were there going over to Larry Jones's barn, so I don't know what their plans are.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the greatest stakes earnings to fit in the top 20.
Probably not.
I think he's like 24th or 25th.
He'd have to run him in something at Keeneland.
Yeah, and I you know, Barry's not the type that's going to jeopardize the long-term health of the horse to, you know, jazz him up. You know,
he may get him ready for the Preakness or something.
Sure,
like
exactly.
That,
you know. Yeah, that would be great. But anyway, he was the first horse in the program.
He was the first one,
that signed up.
Yeah, Burr's the first one to sign up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like him, doesn't it?
I ran into...
Took him a little while to warm up to you, didn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, it took Kentucky a little while to warm up to me. Frankly, it took my wife a little while to warm up to me.
I can understand that.
Maybe it just takes a while. And then they don't warm up anyway. Some of them never warm up. Well, you know, that's hard to imagine. But
what are you looking at the pretty girl for when you say that?
I just wanted to see what her reaction was.
Okay.
We had a great time last night. We had our fundraiser in Midway.
Didn't even mention that.
Yeah. That was a great time. Frank Santorelli, my comedian friend, came and did a comedy, and, you know, people came and donated stuff. And each business in Midway is adopting one of our horses. They have a portrait of the horse in their shop. And, of course, a little donation bucket
at the
bottom of it.
You're never far from a donation bucket.
No.
No.
John Cox over at Thorographics made us this beautiful racetrack.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is they're running all, we're running all the horses down each, on one side, and we're going to have little horses on the track. And each week we count how much money each of the horses earned in each of the stores, and that's how they move up the track. And then when the gates open for the Kentucky Derby, that's the end of the Midway Stakes race for old friends, and then we declare the winner. And they get a trophy to display all year round in their shop as being the champion of that year.
That's a fun idea.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
I think not one merchant turned us down.
Is that
Everybody
right?
Everybody got involved. Yeah, it's exciting.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
You know.
So, all right.
My excuse now?
Your excuse. Huh? You're going back to the races?
No. I'm going to the horse park to watch Bonfante in his debut as a off-the-track thoroughbred performer.
When does that start?
He is so excited. He's gone at 3:30, but the event goes on all day.
Oh.
This is so neat. Dan, I forget Dan's last name, but Dan is Ron McAnally's longtime assistant. He had a horse run the other day at Keeneland, so he brought the horse in. And Dan used to take care of Bonfante.
Yeah.
So he went over yesterday to the horse park to see Bonfante in his stall, and he said, this horse looks better than when he was racing. He was so pleased. Couldn't wait to call the owner, call Ron McAnally, call everybody and tell them how great the horse looks. So that's really the best.
All right.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. And I think this is going to be really – I think this event that they're putting on at the horse park for the off-the-track thoroughbreds is going to be revolutionary, because I think people are going to be able to go and see how great these horses can perform as show horses, and they won't be going off to Europe spending, you know, six figures for some horse they don't need.
We had a lady on the show that founded it. That founded that.
Right, brilliant idea.
2 weeks ago, I believe.
Yeah.
We'll get her back.
Good.
Yeah, she said she'd come back and tell us how it went.
Good. Yeah. Well, I hope it goes really well. I'm sorry it's on the same day as the bluegrass. It creates all kinds of tension.
I know. I saw that, too. That struck me.
If I put that fake police cruiser thing on top of my car, I might be able to go from
there. You go. Where'd you steal that?
Huh?
Where'd you steal that?
Somebody donated.
He got it. Somebody donated it.
Oh.
We got it for
the
free.
The guy that stole it donated it, right? Yeah. That works.
All right.
Just another step away.
Ursel, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great to see you. Great to see you, Jackie. People can come out and be a nice weekend to go on some tours, so we'll be there all day today and tomorrow.
Yeah, we ran into some people from Michigan. We sent them out to the thing this morning.
Good.
They were at old friends last year, did they
say?
Yeah,
they said they'd been out there last year.
Yeah.
So they were supposed to go out this morning.
Great.
Yeah, one of them was wearing a Michigan State
do you remember?
Sweatshirt, you know.
I told him,
we were pulling for you against Louisville.
Nice. Really nice. Well, thank you so much, Ursula. And again, thanks to Sally Vance, and thanks to Ralph, and thanks to Burton Jones and all the people that help us. We're really appreciative.
All righty. We do, too. And this is what I was looking for right here.
He's got his magic list now.
Now
he's going to have to read it.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Introduce yourself over there,
Jamie.
Michael.
Jamie grew up on Vinery. We've been talking.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and we met him at his grandfather Bell's funeral.
Okay.
When he was in law school. Isn't that fun? And I told him to clerk for a judge, so he went to law school and then PhD'd this thing, and now he's working for a judge.
Oh, wow.
I know.
I'm impressed.
Isn't that fun?
I was more impressed with his book.
Oh.
Let me get this out of the way, and I'm not going to call you Jamie, because on the cover here it says James. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, the first Fosbo Warriors Reward arriving this year, and they're really outstanding. For example, check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com or ask the man who owns one. Warriors Reward, you may recall, won the Grade 1 Carter. One of the nation's most coveted sprints, on his way to earnings of over $565,000, and he's one of seven Grade 1 stakes winners by the leading sire Medaglia d'Oro, whose stud fee has climbed to $100,000. His dam, by seeking the goal, comes from a family rich with superior stakes winners, runners such as Millionaire High Yield, Champion Philly Forest Flower, and the near-millionaire Miss Golden Circle. Warriors Reward has bred to 152 mares in his first season stud last year, and he stands for $15,000, doing a full stands in nurses. Last Saturday's Wood Memorial winner, gemologist, is by the Big Horse Sire Tis Now, and one of Tisnow's big horses stands at Spendthrift Farm. In fact, two of them do. Eclipse Award winner finalist Tisway and the undefeated juvenile Tis Wonderful. Tisway is standing his first season of stud, and the first foals by the popular sale sire Tis Wonderful are 2-year-olds. And a Tis Wonderful colt just bought $310,000 at Keeneland, the Keeneland April 2-year-olds in training sale. Others have sold for $525,000, $180,000, $95,000, but because they look and they act like runners. More information, just get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ned Toffee at 294-0030. And once again, check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to talk about my friend over at EquineSavings.com. And they've got a really good deal going over there. It's an organization where if you belong to it, they can get you discounts on some really top products. Number over there is 877-905-0004. And you can get your local, you can get your Toro or your X-Mark mowing machines over there. It's no coupons, no hassles, just the best mowers at the best prices. Farmpaint.com. It's the paint of choice of many of the top farms you drive by daily. I know they use it over at Windstar. They're using it here. Keeneland's using it here on the training center. And there's nothing to join. All you have to do is call them up and tell them who you are. And they donate part of the savings that you make out of that, part of what they get out of it. They donate to the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, or TOBA. And Kentucky Thoroughbred owners and breeders, as you say, to promote racing. So you can't go wrong there. And Steve's number is, let me give you, let's see what it is, a 502 number, 863-6000 locally. Or you can go to, the best thing to do is go to equinesavings.com. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Equinesavings.com. And really wonderful people to do business with. That's the reason I'm doing business with them. So anyway, we're going to move right along right now. And I'm going to have James Nicholson. I'm going to have him on right after the top of the hour here. Let me get some commercials done, and Jamie will get you on. I've got to call you James. I can't do that. You've written a great book. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Be right with you. Kodiak Cowboy won the Eclipse Award of Champion Sprinter. Did that as a 4-year-old, reeling off victories in Grade 1 Vosburgh, the Grade 1 Carter, and the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. He was also the champion 2-year-old colt of his year in Canada. After winning 3 stakes, the Victoria, the Grade 2 Saratoga Special, and Grade 3 Bashford Manor, and placing 2 in 2 more, among them the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, continued his winning ways at 3 in the Grade 2 Amsterdam, the Grade 3 Sport Page, placed in the Grade 1 Vosburgh. In fact, he was a Grade 1 performer every year he raced, and he posted triple-digit buyers at 6.5, 7, 7.5 furlongs, and a mile. Retired with earnings of over $1,663,000, Kodiak Cowboys by Posse, sire of, among others, the winner of last year's Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. And he stands for $6,500 to win a full stanza nurses at Vinery, Kentucky. Vinery, with superb farms in Kentucky, New York, Florida, offers state-of-the-art facilities for every facet of the thoroughbred industry. Just get in touch with John Gasper, Grant Williams, Francis Relihan, or Steve Castanola. 455-9388 and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville Studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Opening day at Keeneland, the Grade 3 Transylvania was won by Silver Max, 3-0 Copa Silver, by Badge of Silver. No contest. Silver Max broke in front and stayed there. Won by 5.5 lengths. Bred by Steve Snowden, Seth Lauffer, and Will Lauffer, Silver Max has won 3 of his 4 starts this year, his 2 previous wins coming at Gulfstream Park, and he's finished 1-2 in 8 of his 9 starts. Badger Silver is also the sire of Fly Lexus Fly, multiple Grade 1 stakes winner in South America. King Ganji, graded stakes winner at Calder and Grade 1 place. Silver Medallion, winner of 4 stakes to date, 3 graded, including the Grade 3 Fort Lauderdale at Gulfstream this year. Doug's Buddy, a multiple stakes winner in Canada, and Sparkling Style, a stakes winner at Hollywood Park, plus 4 more that have placed in stakes, all that from 2 crops of racing age. The Badge of Silver is a running, and he was a runner himself, a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1 million. A Silver Deputy out of a daughter of Silver Hawk from a running family. Badge of Silver stands for $6,000 live foal. Breeding incentives are available at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour of this mess right now, and I've got James Nicholson with me. He's the son of my good friend, Joe Brown Nicholson, by golly.
That's right.
I've known Joe Brown for a long time, and Nick and John also, so I know your uncles, too.
Well, thank you.
Well, but I assume thank you.
Anyway, I'll claim them.
Okay. Well, I hope they claim you. Well, you've... James is here because he's written a book, and it's a very good one. It's the Kentucky Derby, and it's not only history of the Kentucky Derby, it's kind of history of the times. And what made this Derby, and what made it popular, and what set it apart? And you've done a massive amount of research in there. And the first thing I want to tell you, usually when I pick up one of these books, I've been around a little while, and I read this, that somebody's written a book about the horse business, and there's something in there that's wrong. By golly, I couldn't find a thing in there. I mean, you have really... How long did it take you to write this book?
Well, it took me a while. It started as a research paper for a seminar in grad school at UK, and I expanded it into a master's thesis and then into a PhD dissertation. And then I took a break and went to law school and then came back and finished it. So it was years.
Mm-hmm. Are you practicing law now?
I'm a law clerk for Judge Jennifer Kaufman at the federal court.
Okay. Well, that's the first step.
Right.
Yeah, it is. But you must have spent an enormous amount of time doing research. How long did it take you to do this book?
It was a lot of time at the Young Library, but maybe... 9 years start to finish.
Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah, but it's beautifully written. You've got a talent. I don't know if you'd probably be better off getting into writing than you would practicing law, I think.
Writing's a lot more fun.
Well, I bet it is. But you know, but it's really wonderfully written. What did you think? Is it when you first started writing about the Derby and things like that? What put that idea into your mind that the race had become so important in this, not only in this area but in the country? What you were talking about the Old South and what tied it in and why it became popular, and you tied it into Kentucky,
right? Well, when I first started looking at looking at what had been written about the Derby. And why it became popular. Everybody had said that it was Colonel Matt Wynn and his promotional efforts that led to the Derby's success. And I said, well, that's interesting. I'll look more closely. And then I noticed that Wynn had been involved in a lot of racetracks around the country, and I'd say, well, if he was this master promoter, why didn't he promote these other events? Why weren't there all sorts of derbies? And so the answer I came to is that Kentucky was what set it apart, and what was responsible for the Kentucky Derby success. And so from there I started looking into what it was about Kentucky that made it attractive to people.
Well, people haven't had an image in their mind about Kentucky. And explain a little bit about that.
Well, it was Kentucky was from the early days of Daniel Boone. Kentucky was portrayed in books and in mythology and tales as a just a different place. It was wild and untamed, and yet it was civilized at the same time. And you could say the same thing about the Kentucky Derby, with the wild and untamed infield and the civilized clubhouse and Millionaire's Row. Mm-hmm.
You ever spent any time in an infield?
I have.
Have you?
My first,
so you're talking from experience.
I have experience both sides of the track. My first in-person experience was 96. I saw Grindstone win. I was
that was your first derby.
That was my first derby in person. I was working on Johnny Bell Farm that morning and listening to the pre-race coverage, and turned to my buddy and said, "We got to go see that." Mm. And we were 17 and just jumped in the car and saw what it was all about.
Got in.
Maybe shouldn't have, but
exactly. You didn't see much, I don't imagine.
Well, not much horse racing.
No. I'm not going to ask you what you saw.
Right.
Well, it's not only the Danny Boone, but also Eastern Kentucky and the hillbillies and the South. And, you know, it Kentucky did have an image that most states didn't have, wouldn't you say?
It, just different, yeah. It was the idea of Eastern Kentucky being a violent, lawless, reckless place took hold in the late 1800s with these stories often trumped up, but about family feuds and the Hatfields and McCoys. And then on the other side, Kentucky was seen as a modern version of the old South by people who it was like the Deep South, but not so far away geographically. People could jump on a train from Chicago or New York and get to Louisville for the Derby.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Derby survived some hard times.
It did. Survived wars and floods and attempts at gambling regulation. It had a lot of opponents, but it persevered.
Mm-hmm. It got pretty rough early 1906, 1907, that the government, the local government down in Louisville was trying to shut it down. With the paramutual machines were introduced at that time.
Right. The bookies had a bad reputation.
Probably deservedly so.
Perhaps. and anti-gambling reformers were wiping out racing all over the country, and Louisville had its own reform-minded groups, and they tried to do away with the bookies, and so the pari-mutuel machines were dusted off and reintroduced, and that potentially saved racing and really revolutionized how wagering was done.
Well, it kind of helped it shortly after that they installed those things out in Louisville at the Donorail one. And you probably wouldn't have got but 20 to 1 on him, you know, through the bookmakers. And, well, he went off at 90-something to 1, didn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point. And made headlines around the country.
Yeah.
Look at this giant payoff and this the magic of the pari-mutuel machines.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, World War II, they had, well, the Depression. And, you know, that really, you would think that the crowd wouldn't be much crowd during the Depression, but that wasn't true, was it?
No, it was a distraction from hard times, horse racing in general, and events like the Kentucky Derby specifically.
Yeah,
in the under the travel restrictions of World War II, people were officially discouraged from coming from far away to attend the Derby, and Churchill Downs was able to give some of the out-of-towners tickets to servicemen and got some good publicity from that and allowed the Derby to keep going and allowed the track to be able to say, as they can today, that it's the longest continuously held sporting event in America.
That's important, isn't it?
I think so. It's a tie to the past.
Yeah. Let me take a break here, and I'll get right back to you.
All right.
I'm talking to James Nicholson, who's the author of this. Just came. It's out now?
Just out now.
I just got mine in the mail day before yesterday, as a matter of fact. And you're going to a book signing today out of Keeneland.
That's right.
Yeah. 1 o'clock?
2 to 4.
2 to 4. Okay. Right there in the right outside the gift shop.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me pay a bill here or two. We're going to get back and talk to James some more. Opening day at Keeneland, the grade 3. Did I just do that? I just did that one. Let's move over to this pile. Hakama, 3-year-old colt by First Samurai, turned in a great effort in last Saturday's grade 3 Illinois Derby, finished a fast closing third. Now, here's what the official chart of the race said. Quote, Hakama bumped at the start, forced him to ring it up, settled in last to the backstretch, shifted out racing through the far turn, steadily gathering momentum, was fanned 7 wide into the upper stretch, exchanged repeated contact with Saturday Launch, racing through the lane, continued willingly to close the gap while edging that foal for a share. He came from dead last in a field of 14, got beat by 2 lengths for all the money, running third. So we're going to hear more about this colt in the future. First Samurai is also a sired grade 2 stakes winner in grade 1 place, Justin Phillip. Graded stakes winner, Northern Passion. Graded stakes winner, Let Me Go. Stakes winner, Trubbs. Stakes winner, Swift Warrior. And 4 others to place in stakes. Now, a grade 1 stakes winner by Giants Causeway. The First Samurai stands for 15,000 doing a full stands and nurses at Cleveland Farm. Also yesterday, incidentally, the grade 1 Maker's Mark Mile winner, Data Line, is by Warfront. Who also stands at Cleveland Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClavenFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, a 2-year-old colt from the first crop by Majestic Warrior, top Keeneland's 2-year-old in training sale earlier this week, consigned to Wave Tree Stables agent. The youngster went to George Bolton and Stone Street Stables for $700,000. He had Breeze an 8th and 10 flat at the pre-sale under tax show, if I can say it. John Monahan, Stone Street's Bloodstock Advisor, likes the Majestic Warriors. I've seen some really good ones, and the good ones that I've seen have a tremendous amount of AP Indy in them. That's a quote. Yet another Majestic Warrior, a filly consigned by Eddie Woods, agent, went to Hillendale Bloodstock for $400,000. Earlier this year, Majestic Warrior was the leading first crop sire among those with three or more in the sale at the Phasic Tipton sale of selected two-year-olds in Florida, when he averaged $251,666. Easy to see why horsemen like them. The Majestic Prince, they look and they act like runners. Majestic Warrior is the only two-year-old son of AP Indy to win Grade 1 stakes under a mile. He's out of Grade 1 stakes winning Millionaire Dream Supreme by seeking the goal. Stands for $10,000, doing the foal stands and nurses. There's a 1% discount, I believe. He stands at $10,000 doing the... I'm trying to give you one. He stands for $10,000 doing the foal stands and nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says...
I'm talking to James Nicholson, who's the author of the just-released the Kentucky Derby. It's a book, highly recommended, extremely well-written. And he's having a book signing out of Keeneland. If you're going to Keeneland today, just go by the gift shop over there, and he's going to be, so I think, set up right outside the bookshop there. Joseph Beth and who else is? Somebody told me that maybe the History Book Club was going to pick it up.
That's what I've been told, and also Morris Bookshop on High Street. I'll be signing over there tomorrow at 2
as well. Okay. What about Joseph Beth? You got going with them yet?
Sometime. I can't remember when, but yep, they're in stock there too.
How about that? How blasé is that? All right. I can't remember when. He's written a wonderful book and they're having book signings and I don't know when I'm going to have it, you know. Let me tell you a little bit, tell me a little bit about yourself. You're talking about working on Jonabell Farm. Your family, of course, has been involved with the horse business in more ways than one for a long time.
Well, John Bell was founded by my mom's dad, John Bell, and I grew up out there and worked there as a teenager. Spent a lot of time on the maintenance crew, weed eating and
that's fun.
Fence fixing and yeah, lots of fun stuff.
That's where you learn how to write. He said, I'm going to give up this damn weed eating.
That's right. That's right.
It'll make a writer out of you. I knew John real well. He was a great man. One of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet in the horse business. And I knew him when he and Alex Bauer had the old Cromwell Bloodstock Agency out on Versailles Road. I don't know if that's about 50 years before you were born.
That's before my time. I spent a lot of time around Alexandria. When it was there,
yeah.
I actually remember seeing you there one time and thought I'd there was a celebrity sighting.
Boy, are you gullible?
I was young.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. but John, I had him on the show a couple of times, and he was just a great man. I loved him. Alec Bowery, I know you, of course. Alec passed away long before you were born. But he was a wonderful guy too, and if nobody in the business ever had a better reputation than those two. It's really, I hope you've inherited some of that.
Well, time will tell. I don't know. Oh,
well, did you work on any other horse farms, or is that just Jonabell? That was good enough.
That was good enough. I worked for at a couple of sales, consignments, but no full-time farm employment outside of Jonabell. I've worked on the tote board at Phasic Tipton for 10 or 11 years.
What do they do that when you're working on the tote board?
Punching the numbers, but wrenching.
Oh, when they bid?
When they bid. I'm.
Oh, yeah. I'd hate to try that. I'd screw that up for sure.
It takes some listening.
But I bet it does.
Did you ever make a mistake
Well, if you want to get a mic here.
I wanted to know if you ever made a mistake.
No more than the auctioneers, I bet you.
None that I would claim.
Missing a digit here or there. Ooh.
Missing a zero, maybe.
Well, we're kind of behind a colored glass, so I can always claim it was the other guy.
Yeah. He's a lawyer.
That's yeah, like, right.
Good, smooth move there.
Yeah, it's starting to come out, isn't it? Oh, well, anyway. Well, I know you want to get out
well,
to
Keeneland. Wait a minute. Where'd you go to high school?
Graduated from Henry Clay.
Uh-huh. And then you went where?
I went to Washington and Lee in Virginia for a year and then came back to UK and was there quite a while.
Yeah. Go Cats.
Go Cats. Go yeah. Big Blue.
took him 10 years to write this book.
Holy cow.
And I told him, and this is the truth. You know, usually, you know, you read some of these books and that people have written about the horse business, and I can find a mistake or two. And I couldn't find anything in this book.
Well, and you kept saying, he can really write. He can really write.
Yeah. So and great. I was, you know, I was impressed. I recommend a book highly.
Oh,
and
thank you.
If you're going out to the to Keeneland today, what does it sell for?
Believe it's $24.95.
Ooh. Look at that. He doesn't even know that.
Steal it twice the price.
I didn't say that now.
I want him to autograph it before he leaves.
Yeah. Yeah, would you, James? You can say Jamie when you sign it.
All right.
Give him a pen there.
There's a pen. I'm going to keep it.
It's a
keeper. So you're married.
I am married.
Yeah. Got any kids?
No.
Oh, smart man.
He hesitated when he said no. It must be one cooking or something, you know. No, not that
now,
either.
Now this is getting a little personal.
Did you marry a Kentucky girl?
Well, she's a transplant from Texas. She Yeehaw. Came up here to work on her family's horse farm, which is Diamond A, out on Steel Road in Woodford County.
Mm-hmm. Ted Carr out yes. there manages it. Yeah.
Or, Mac.
Now Mac, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've known Ted for, he and I went to high school together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because he's older than I am. he's not really, but I love to say it because it bugs him. If you'll sign that for me, I'd appreciate right. it. And don't forget, you can, it's Ercel, E-R-C-E-L, if you didn't know how to spell it.
All right.
He had a vague, a confused look in his
Everybody
eye.
Everybody does.
That's all right. I didn't even know it was Ercel until I was in the sixth grade. And that's the damn truth. Everybody called me boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Henry White will tell that on me, so I might as well tell it first.
Yeah.
Because I was 5 years younger than my sister, and everybody comes and say, I was a boy. And I really didn't know how to spell Ercel till I was
distinguished from the girl.
I finally got into sixth grade at Russell Cave, and they corrected my spelling. And I was spelling my middle name Francis, and spelled that with an E.
Oops!
Oops! Changed my sex right there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, my real name's Cecilia, and I was in the first grade, and they said Cecilia Aiken. And I looked around to see who else had the same last name as I did.
Where's my sister?
Yeah. Who, huh?
Yeah. All righty. All righty. Well.
Where are you?
Well, I don't know. We've got.
We're going to try to get Brian. He's going to Keeneland.
Brian's going to Keeneland?
We're going to try to get him.
Okay.
He's got to hurry up.
No, he already left?
No, he was in a hurry. So
we're going to try on the road or at Keeneland?
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck. Don't write an epistle there. Just
charge him by the word.
Charge him by the word, huh? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're related, of course, to Benny Bell, as far as that goes.
I am.
Or I should say Benny Bell Williams.
Yeah. What a Benny. Sweetie.
Yeah, she is a sweetie.
Yeah.
She has to put up with John, though. She's got to be part saint to do that. And what are we going to do after a while, Jackie?
Well, I have my announcements. What else are you going to do?
I'm going to look at some old winners of the Bluegrass.
Good.
Yeah, a couple of them. Thank you, James. I appreciate it. And good luck with the book, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you
Come
for stopping
back
by.
Come back anytime.
Cameron wants to talk to him, too. See if we can get him on the show there.
Okay.
Can you get his... Well, I'm... Yeah. Okay. give him your where he can get in touch with you. Mike Cameron is a friend of mine that has got the sports show on this channel from, where they come on from, Rissy?
4 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
4 to 7, and he wants to talk to you too. So anything you can do to sell a book, you know.
Absolutely.
Like Michael Blowen.
Michael Blowen could sell buggy whips in Detroit.
I doubt it now.
Well, that's true.
Well, First Defense has a classic pedigree, but speed was his forte. He's one of 13 Grade 1 winners by Unbridled Song, the Sire 3 Distaff Classic winners, and the son of the classic winner and classic Sire Unbridled. His damn honest lady won Grade 1 stakes, earned more than $894,000, and she's by classic winner and classic Sire Seattle Sloop. Second Dam, a broodmare of the year, won Grade 1 stakes and produced 5 graded stakes winners, 4 of them Grade 1 stakes winners, including Empire Maker, winner of the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes and a very successful sire. And Chester House, a Grade 1 stakes winner. He won stakes around 2 turns and was also a very successful sire. First Defense also won stakes around 2 turns, but he excelled sprinting. Won the Grade 1 4 goal, 7 furlongs and 121 and 2. Sprinted 7 furlongs and 120 and 4 at Belmont, 121 and 2 at Churchill. 6 furlongs and 9 and 2 to take the Grade 3 Diaper. And he won graded stakes on dirt and grass. First foals by First Defense, 2-year-olds, they're in good hands, and he stands for 7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also the Grade 1 sire Mizzen Mast. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, last Saturday, Keenan, the Grade 1 Ashton Stakes, was won by Carlovy Vary, a filly bred by Alex G. Campbell, Jr., and Mr. Campbell boards his horses at Gainesway Farm. Then on Wednesday at Oaklawn, the Grade 2 Fantasy was won by Mama Kimbo, a filly bred by Bill Betts, Dr. Chuck Kidder, and Wayne Masterman. Congratulations from the friends at McCauley Brothers. And the winners of the Severn Awards were announced over the weekend, and McCauley Associates scored in 2 divisions. Canada's Horse of the Year, Never Retreat, was bred by Jerry O'Meara and Stanley Inman, and the champion 2-year-old filly was bred and is owned by Brereton C. Jones at his Airdrie Stud. Now, there's no doubt about it. Clients of McCauley Brothers are having another great year. This following year, which saw them raise the winners of 110 graded stakes and 25 individual Grade 1 stakes winners. I would suggest that you contact Mike Warren or David Longmire at McCauley Brothers and talk to them about your feeding program. Join the winning team, and you are always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the house. Miles from the Paris Bypass, boarding, sales prep, public and private sales, rehab, got quality farm help, give you some good sound common sense advice if you're in the horse business or if you're thinking about getting into the horse business. And I'm going to give you his website. It's Knock Griffin Farm, KnockGriffinFarm.com, and his number is 987-8032. Jim's got a great farm, too, farm.
The Hopewell Company, we've been doing business with them ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Jim Fitzgerald is a good friend of mine over at Knock Griffin Farm, a neighbor of mine, as a matter of fact. And Jim is a graduate of the Irish National Stud, came up under Dr. Michael Osmond, John Williams over at Spencer Farm, Lee Eaton, great people, and he consequently learned his lessons well. He's a great horseman. Got 2 good farms, 2 better than good. I said, Knock Griffin is his old home place. He's been there 17 years, and Harper's Island, which is nearby. And they do boarding, sales prep, sales, public or private. Either one doesn't make any difference. Rehab. Quality farm help and can give you some just good sound common sense advice if you're in the business and not doing well or thinking about getting into the business. Of course, he sells at all the major sales and does a wonderful job. They had a great Keeneland sales last year, and I would recommend him if you want to board a horse, because, as I said, he's got quality help And believe me, he's very demanding when it comes to the care of his horses. That's Jim Fitzgerald at Knock Griffin Farm, KNOCKGRIFFINFarm.com. And the number is 987-8032. All right, I believe I have with me is Brian Turner. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. We finally got to you. I don't know what happened. I guess I screwed up. It's the usual thing. I know you're anxious to get to Keeneland. You probably want to get out to the gate, break out of the starting gate, and get out there. You better hurry up. You're going to have to get in line.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah. Who do you like in the bluegrass today?
Well, I'm afraid I've got to give the nod to the favorite in there, Hanson. I think the horse has, you know, come back from the layoff real well. Last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. Ran a little bit of trouble in the Slop and the Holy Bull, but bounced right back in the Gotham with a nice effort. Showed me he could actually stalk the pace when he'd just been a front runner before, and you know, won handily with a nice three-length victory. He's a perfect 2-for-2 on the synthetic, won the Kentucky Cup Juvenile by 13 1/4 lengths over Turfway. So I think he could be tough to beat in this spot if he can remember to rate again.
All right, who's 2 and 3?
My next horse would be How Great, 10 horse. It came back with a really nice effort off the layoff in the Palm Beach down there at Gulfstream. Stopped the pace early, finished real well late for a length victory. And then I'm going to have to go with a little bit of a prize for the third horse here and go with the Baffert Train Midnight Crooner. Now, horses be making it start off the layoff. Broke its maiden on the synthetic over at Golden Gate, 7 1/2 lengths. Finished, you know, solid third last out on the grass in the Pasadena. I think could be ready for a big effort and start back from the layoff with Gomez and the Iron.
Okay, what's so that would be 4, 10, and 3.
4, 10, and 8.
4, 10, and 8. Oh, yeah. Okay, 4, 10, and 8. Okay, I guess it looks like Scat Daddy's going to go to the lead from the outside there. What do you think?
I think so. It looks like he's going to try to anyway.
Not Scat Daddy. Know. Scat Man, but he's by Scat Daddy.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah.
Knew who you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. There's so many of those Scat Daddies are running good now that I get them mixed up.
Oh, absolutely. There's a whole bunch of them out there.
Yeah, sure. One of them coming over from Europe, you know, that Aiden O'Brien's bringing over, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting derby so far.
Oh, I think so. Like I said, I haven't really got a handle on it yet. I'm kind of waiting, hoping today's race will line things out for me a little bit.
Yeah. Did they run the what's the Arkansas Derby's going today?
Yeah, Arkansas Derby's running today, too.
Yeah, that you know, horses come out of that and run real good in the Derby.
They have in the past, and you've always got to give them a lot of respect when they're coming out of the Arkansas Derby.
Yeah. Well, this has been Brian Turner with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. He's filling in for Steve Moody. I hope Steve's doing well.
I think he's getting better, so hopefully he'll be back here with you before too long.
Well, you know, he's a nice guy. I've known Steve a long time, and I appreciate you filling in for him, Brian.
Well, that's been no problem.
If you if you're going to Keeneland, just throw Tony on the ground for me, and I'll we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's you can buy that Kentucky Handicapper Sheet right there at Keeneland, I do believe they're talking about it. And let's see now. And you know what? I didn't bring that. Okay. You just pointed something out to me. Okay. Forgot something, Jackie. You want to do some announcements now? Let me rest.
Sure.
I'm about talked out.
Well, that's what you paid for. Right?
Poorly. Probably more than I'm worth. Okay.
Okay. Horse Park today is Kentucky Mid-South HA Hunter Association. How's that? If that's not it, that's close. Also, Kentucky Spring Premier Saddlebred Show and da-da-da-da. Today is the Thoroughbred Horse Show. Today and tomorrow, these are OTTBs, off-the-track thoroughbreds. And this is wonderful. They're going to have one in the spring, one in the fall. They're having in-hand classes, too, that they call war horse classes. These are old poops that have run and run and run their legs off, and they got big ankles, and they got all kind of problems. But they're taking them on a shank. And just such a wonderful idea. It gives people an idea of what you can do with horses when they get off the racetrack. Next weekend is a bit slow, but Rolex. Oh, my goodness, Rolex is coming up. The 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th. That's the four-day, three-day. So people come in from all over the country, all over the world for Rolex. So what a great event. Lots of fun. They're having a carriage event 1st of May. And more horse shows. It's wonderful. Okay, Central Kentucky Riding for the Handicap is going to have a Derby Day Fun Day. Look forward to see everybody participating. Horseback games and hack contests. All the riders get their pictures taken in the winner's circle with a trophy and a blanket of roses. So come celebrate Sport of Kings at CKRH. They're going to have camps and horse shows. They're having a Monday mini lessons. They're going to start at 10 in the morning. So it's a wonderful thing, CKRH.org. It's just can't say enough good about it. This show will be up on UrsulaEllis.com, on UrsulaEllis' homepage, brought to you courtesy of Lexington Computer Clinic. They taught me how to do it. They give computer lessons, $20 for a half hour. And I tell you what, I couldn't take a lesson longer than that because my brain would crack. That's all I can do to get that much in there. I have to write down everything that man says, because I'll forget it as soon as I move on.
That's what happens when you get old.
That's it. Well, I was always like that. I can't blame it on old.
I got to have some kind of excuse.
Well, I'll think of a better one. Anyway, they're Monday through Saturday. They're out at Hamburg in the Hamburg Meyer store, 263-7374. Well, they had 900 first graders at the horse park, and it went off like you wouldn't believe. They had a fake race between Seabiscuit and War Admiral, and they said it was just absolutely super duper fun. So glad that went. Okay, Root and Rental and Woodford Equine, they're low on colostrum, no surprise. Haggard's has a little more than the other ones, but all you broodmare managers out there, let's just drop a piece of paper. Keep them in mind and get us some colostrum. Now, I already talked about that horse show today. Show off your thoroughbred horse show. It's tvhorseshow.org if you want to check it out. Jan Rail is the woman's name that's behind it. Brio heads to the Bluegrass, the 40th anniversary Paso Fino Grand National Show. Paso Fino is a breed. I think it's kind of related to the Arabs, but they're heavier. They're more like Lepizzaners. Just looking at them. They're Spanish. So
fit right in, right?
Fit right. No, yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's going to come in the fall, but that's a big deal. You know that more and more horse show associations, breed associations, et cetera, are moving their national headquarters to the horse park because it's a place they can do stuff and, you know, the whole nine yards. I mean, we got the National Horse Show here. First one was last year. Coming up again. It's just a real coup. But I think last one kind of snuck up on them. This year they're going to – people know it's coming. Okay, tonight, 6:30. You can pay at the door. It's a Bluegrass Equine Benefit for Multiple Sclerosis. Kieran McLaughlin has it. He's going to show up. It's, of course, the Bluegrass is today. And Kieran's going to be out there if you're interested. CrystalBootsLexington.org, 293-7060. You can just show up at 6:30 at the door at Spindletop. That's a nice place. It's $100. I think it's $125 for two. I forget. Anyway, come on. It's going to be delicious and fun and wonderful. And it is they have a silent auction and live entertainment. So that's a nice thing to do for MS. It's a real odd disease, isn't it? Okay, 2010 seminars in clinics from Toba. May the 3rd, they'll have a ownership seminar, Bring Your Wallet, at the Derby Museum in Louisville. And then there'll be a breeding clinic, Bring Two Wallets, June the 1st through the 3rd here in Lexington. So, you know, that thing about, I've always said about horse racing, for a big-time professional sport, you're not ever going to own an NFL team or a baseball team or any of that big-time stuff, but you can get a couple of your friends, and you can put your money in a little pot, and you can go claim a horse and get your silks and get your owner's license and do all that fun stuff. You can get hire a trainer and come out here on Saturday mornings and watch them paint, watch them work. And anyway, it's a great, great sport, great idea, and everybody can do it.
Well, the first foals by Classic Winner Jazzle are show and run. Compressor has posted 4 wins and has been in the money in 10 of his 12 starts. Allowance winner Farhan has 2 wins and is knocking on the door in stakes. Allowance winner Jazzizzle has a pair of wins and has also run well in stakes. So is Najjar, a top allowance winner at Oaklawn Park, who ran well in the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes, and he goes today in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. He's got a good shot in there, too. Perdido broke her maiden at Churchill. Law Jamil won a maiden allowance in her second start. So the Jazzles are competitive and good company, and they're more on the way. Jazzle won the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, was a closing fourth in the Kentucky Derby. He is, without question, one of the best-bred young sires in the world. He's by Seeking the Goal. He is out of Broodmare of the Year Better Than Honor, a major graded stakes winner herself, and the dam of 4 graded stakes winners, including the champion Rags to Riches, like Jazzle, winner of the Belmont Stakes. The second dam won the Kentucky Oaks, and the third dam is yet another Broodmare of the Year. Doesn't get any better than that. Jazzle stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend Mort Shirazi. I didn't see Mort today. He must be on his way to run one somewhere. He does a very good job this year. He's saddling better, you know, right at 28% winners, almost 86% of them have run 1-2-3, and 100% of them have run 1-2-3-4. And of course, the big money is there, 1-2-3-4.
That's right.
So he does a very good job. What's impressive about it is he gets horses usually that have problems, because he's got a good reputation for straightening out horses with both mental and physical problems. Well, medical, I did say that. Anyway, they need that too, probably. And he'd been around. The family's been in the business for over 100 years. He used to ride races himself about 60 pounds ago. And he's a really nice guy, UK grad. Been in, managed a horse farm, a Swifty Farms, for pretty near about 5 years as manager. Was up there about 10 years. Used to do bloodstock do some bloodstock work for Lane's Inn, Pace and Stud. I met him when he was over at Pace and Stud. And he, as I say, he's got a good reputation for straightening out horses with problems. But he'd like to get horses, you know, that doesn't have to do that. So send him something got some little bit of future to it, and he'll do you a good job. He's also, besides training, his bloodstock agents, and let me give you his website. It's bronkbusters.com, bronkbusters.com, and he'll race anywhere. I mean, he saddles them up and goes everywhere, anywhere. And phone number is at 859 number 351-2360, and once again, it's bronkbusters.com. And let's see, what have I got going for me right now? I got really one of the top horses in the country. It's Stud. Sprite's down to talk about, because last Saturday, Woodbine, Essence Hitman by Sprite's down, won $150,000 Jacques Cartier Stakes. That brought his earnings up to more than $838,000. Now, Essence Hitman won the Southern Award as champion sprinter. Got that for the second year in a row. He's won 6 stakes, plus he set a new track record for 6 furlongs at Woodbine, 108 flat. Spite Stan is the sire of 9 2012 stakes horses, including Country Day. He's won the Colonel Power Stakes down at the fairgrounds. He won stakes at Oaklawn and Presque Isle. and was also second in the Grade II Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Last year, he's earned over $503,000. Danced to Bristol has won stakes this year at Law. Six more placed in stakes this year, four in graded stakes. And in 2011, Sprytown sired 14 stakes winners and earners of more than $8,377,000 to rank eighth on the general sire list. The sire also has such brilliant performers as a Grade I stakes winner, Haynesfield, winner of over $1,319,000, Grade I stakes winner, Jerseytown, and Grade I stakes winner, Mona de Mama. Sprytown stands at Windstar Farm, $50,000 doing a full stanza of nurses. Winterman Eclipse Award is champion sprinter. Sprytown's by Gone West out of Silken Cat by Stormcat. Inquire to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett and see the website at windstar.com.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you'd never cheat on me. Tell me that you always will be true, dear. Run that body one more time.
Now, you know, they're running 13 entries into the Bluegrass Stakes today, and 12 of the 13 will fold right here in the state of Kentucky. So if you want to get into the action, just ask Dave Schweitzer about it over to Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. He'll tell you, breed and raise horses right here in Kentucky. 12 of the 13 starters today in the Bluegrass Stakes. Heavy Breathing was bred by Manganera, LLC in Kentucky, Gung Ho. That's the only one who wasn't bred in this state. But the breeder, Canaan Sarah Ramsey, obviously sent the mare up to Pennsylvania to be foaled. Compliments to David Williams. Prospective was foaled right here at Spendthrift Farm. Hanson was bred by Michael J. Maker. Let's see who where the other ones were. Russian Greek was foaled at Overbrook. The breed of Dullahan was Phil Needham, Judy Needham, and Bina Halecki. The politically correct was bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. This one foaled in Kentucky. They're running an entry. Midnight Crooner, Arnold Zetcher, another Kentucky breeder. Holy Candy was the Craig Family Trust bred that one. My friend Barry Irwin is the breeder of How Great. Ever So Lucky. Jerry Jamgachian, I'm sorry, I screwed up his name, but that's all right. Hero of Order, Wind Hill Farm, bred that one. And Scatman, well, he's, of course, one of those running scat daddies, was bred by J-E-O-G Racing LLC. He's got the outside post position. I kind of like him today. I bet you they have to catch him. Scat daddy's doing really well. And for more information about Kentucky breeds and Kentucky horse, get in touch with David Schweitzer over at the KTA. All right, Jackie, you want to stop eating and start talking again?
No, I don't know. can I think about it? Anyway. Oh, Lee Clark was up here today. Worked a horse he's got with some guys. Worked real good, too. He is Clark Paint Contracting. He's a really good painter. Does a really good job. I mean, it's very thorough. He's going to do ours again this year. And yeah, I'm just
recommending. He's going to do ours with farmpaint.com.
And go that right. Too. See how that works.
Farm Paint.
So.
You got that through, of course, Equine Savings.
Yes.
And if you go to Equine Savings, you save, I think she said something like, a 12% discount or something 15? Like 15% discount if you buy through them. If you go through Equine Savings, doesn't cost you anything. Go ahead, Jackie.
Oh, anyway.
Leave me some time to talk about Bimelec, would you?
Okay, I just always mention it because we've had a lot of different people do a lot of different painting, and he's the best. Anyway, 331-1102, if you're looking for somebody, it's time to start doing that. Does your trailer need repair? Well, call Sally Van, because who would be better at it than Sally Van? Nobody. Valley High Show Stable's going to have summer camps. June 18th is the first. Get a hold of Joyce Brinsfield, 948-2632. Let's see, farm manager's meeting's over. Oh, the High Hope, which is Sunday, May 20th, is having a Women's Sportsman's Challenge, well, Sportswomen's Challenge, and it was a race for the cure. It cost you $500 to ride, lady riders, and sport horses. They're going to sponsored by and carry local Thoroughbred Farm Silks. If you want to participate, get a hold of them out at High Hope. Race entry deadline is the 20th of April. So, 621-1604.
Well, the first Foldsville Warriors Award arriving this year, they're outstanding. For an example, check the website at spendthrift.com. All right, it's the man who owns one. Warriors Award, you may recall, won the Grade 1 Carter, one of the nation's most coveted sprints, on his way to earnings of over $565,000. He's one of seven Grade 1 stakes winners by Medaglia d'Oro, whose stud fees climbed to $100,000. His dam by Seeking Gold comes from a family rich with superior stakes winners. Runners like Millionaire High Yield and Champion Filly Forest Flower, Near Millionaire Miss Golden Circle. Warriors Award was bred to 152 mares first season at stud last year. Stands for $15,000 doing a full stands of nurses. And last Saturday's Wood Memorial winner, Gemologist, is by the Big Horse sire, Tisnow. And two of Tisnow's big horses stand at Spendthrift Farm. They would be Eclipse Award finalist Tisway and the undefeated juvenile Tis Wonderful. Tisway standing his first in his season at stud. And the first foals by the popular sales sire Tis Wonderful at 2-year-olds. Tis Wonderful colt brought $310,000 at Keeneland April sale just the other day. Others have sold for $525,000, $180,000, $95,000. They look and they act like runners. If there's more information, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Dez Dempsey, or Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee, 294-0030. And once again, check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at PrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
You know, Jack and I were talking just a little bit earlier about saving 10% if you go through buy through Equine Savings and you order farmpaint.com. That's the name of the outfit, farmpaint.com. They've got offices right here in town, right over on Phillips Lane, which is on right off Old Frankfort Pike. You came close to the Humane Society over there, and we're going to do our farm with it. And also you get savings on Toro and X Marks. I get up to 28% if you order, you know, buy through Equine Savings. 28% off Toro and X Mark. And you finally just go to the dealer and tell them about it. But best thing to do is join up with EquineSavings.com. They donate part of that money, you know, to the KTA and to the KTOB to promote racing. So you really can't lose. And it's Steve Anderson, and believe me, it's nice people to do business with, and they can save you a lot of money on quality products. Go to that website, EquineSavings.com, and they will absolutely tell you what you can buy and what you can. Office Depot, Commonwealth Technology on copiers and scanners and supplies and so forth. And it's a wonderful idea and a wonderful way to save money and help the industry at the same time. Once again, that's EquineSavings.com with Steve Anderson. Go ahead, Jackie.
I just wanted to say that tomorrow at Masterson Equestrian, there is a cross-country schooling day.
Oh, okay. Tomorrow? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I was going to do a little bit something about some of the old winners of the Bluegrass Stakes. And the first one I ran across, I've got a couple of minutes here. Maybe I can take care of Bimelec. He won it in 1945, beating Roman. And Roman, of course, was Sir Galahad III, and he was the top sire. Better sire than Bimelec, as a matter of fact. Bimelec was by Black Tony, and he went on to be the champion 3. Of course, he'd been the champion 2-year-old the year before. And undefeated in six starts, his two-year-old won the Saratoga Special and the Hopeful and Futurity and the Pimlico Futurity. His Bluegrass, the Bluegrass was his first start at three. He led all the way, won by 2.5 lengths, beating Roman, as I said. Then he went to Churchill and won the Derby trial at Churchill on April the 30th by 2.25 lengths, beat Galahadine and Ditt. And 4 days later, he ran second in the Derby. Big upset. Ditt ran third. He'd been forced wide on the turn. Just got beat a nose for second, as a matter of fact. Bimlik had the lead at the eighth pole and got beat a length and a half. Also in the field were Muleland, who raced for Mr. C.S. Howard, the Seabiscuit fame. Scirocco was in there. He was by Sweetball. And Roman, who led for nearly a mile. And some other nice horses were in there. Galahadian paid $72.40. He was bred by R.A. Fairburn, incidentally, and sold his yearling by Carter Thornton, who also sold Kentucky Derby winners, a Hoop Jr., and Canyonero. Anyway, he went on. He won the Preakness by three, beating Mill Land, who was a mud horse, and beat Galahadian in the day. Ran his second to Cardon in the Witherings, then he came back and won a Belmont by five over Your Choice and Andy Kay. Sent him over to Chicago for the Arlington Classic, and he got beat 10 lengths by Scirocco. Scirocco was by, as I said, Sweetball out of Miss Toro Batoro, full brother to Four Winds. They run the stakes up in Chicago, still named after Four Winds. I think they still run that race up there, as a matter of fact. Horse broke a leg as a four-year-old and had to put him down, Scirocco. Dan Bimlik came back and he ran twice at four. And he won. All he did was win an allowance race at Hialeah. Ran fourth in the Widener that year. Besides some 30 stakes winners at stud, the best of his sons at stud were Better Self and Hilarious. Hilarious stood down in Florida. Bimlik stood over Green Tree. After Mr. E.R. Bradley passed away, because he had bred the horse at his idle hour farm out there. He was a better broodmare sire than he was a sire. A grand old gilding of Alpha Gwynn Vanderbilt. Fine, who was by discovery, was out of a Bimlik mare. He won 22 races and 803,000, raced forever, and always in stakes, and always got a piece of it. Porterhouse, who was a champion two-year-old of his year. He was by Endeavor the second. He raced for Langolin. Went to stud over here on Stallion Station, and he won almost $600,000. There was a really good filly named Laloon, who I believe was by Jetta. Won the Kentucky Oaks, went on to win a Beldame. And then No Robbery, who was the son of Swaps, won the Wood Memorial. If I'm not mistaken, he was fourth in the Derby. I know he was undefeated going into the Derby, and he was bred by Green Tree and went to stud at Ben Walden's farm over in Bed Walden Sr. Shadowlone, he called it at that time. That's what his dad had named the farm. And overall, and it was a very, very good sire, as a matter of fact. So anyway, that was the story of Bimlik. A Bluegrass Stakes winner that went on to be a champion 3-0 that year. The next one I was going to talk about was Coal Town. He didn't come around until 1948, and he was the champion handicap horse of 1950. That was the year that Citation did not race. He came back as a Citation came back as a 5-year-old to go over $1 million. You know that. Anyway, I know that. After I saw Coal Town win the Bluegrass out here, and I thought he was going to win the Derby. I didn't know what Mr. Ben Jones knew, though. And, you know, R. Carroll could have rode in either one of those horses. And he asked Jones, says, geez, which one should I ride? And he says, you better ride Citation. He says, he can beat anything that he can see. Ain't nothing wrong with his eyesight. So he was... Absolutely. He was right about that. He had that right. All right. The winners from the Thoroughbred Center. You got to do it in a hurry. Eight of them since last week. Alan Krupper, Paul McEntee, Jimmy Cargan, Trish Regard, Kellen Gorder, Ted Lucas, and Troy Rankin saddled two. One at Keeneland and one last night at Mountaineer. That's 15 winners in the first so far this month. You know, 8 since last week. Doing pretty good. That's it. Now, I think you signing off for us, or?
Well, no, I was going to say the show will be up on UrsulaEllis.com as soon as I can figure out what button to push.
All right. You got that in. Talk to you next week.